you see vestiges of that tradition in the Israeli bureaucracy today, the abhorrence of having unemployment. In the United States, we, rightly or wrongly, but we deal with unemployment 7%, 8%, 10%, England deals 12%, 15%. That's part of the throw-off of the capitalist society. In Israel, until the current austerity program, Israel ran an unemployment rate of about 2.5%, which is no unemployment because there's always 2.5% of the population in between jobs, looking for another job, etc. So in effect, it was zero unemployment. How do you run a zero unemployment? Guy's got a job. I mean, every Israeli office has got a guy that brings in the tea. And that's a job. His job is to bring in the tea. Now, so again, if you look at it through the eyes of of American or Japanese efficiency, that's no way to run a railroad. But if you look at it in the tradition of where that's coming from, you realize the necessity for having such a bureaucracy, because it gave work to everybody. And as long as a person had some work, he had somewhere to go, he had some self-respect. In spite of this, a fifth of the Jewish community was reduced to begging, lived as beggars. And economic opportunities for Jews in Eastern Europe were always minimal. Not only for Jews, they were always minimal for everybody. Most of Poland today still goes by horseback. Only in the late 1970s did Poland claim, we don't know whether it's true, but at least they claim that they finally have electrified the country, put in rural electrification all over the country. I mean, but you shouldn't be surprised about Poland. I remember I was in Ireland 10 years ago, and it was I was in the small villages, farming villages, dairy villages, where there were no automobiles. Everybody went with horse and wagon, and there were no telephones, and there was no electricity in most of the homes. The difference between what we're accustomed to and what exists even now in the rest of the world is quite enormous when you get to see it. So when the Jews came to Poland, the economic benefits that were given to them were the following jobs. Number one, they were entitled to the liquor licenses. Now, all of Eastern Europe until today has a strong history of alcoholism. I saw an interesting article in the Times. I think many of you may have seen it as well, how drinking has started to diminish in the United States, at least drinking of hard liquor, because of health reasons, because of social reasons, because of accidents, etc. But it has started to diminish. But even at its height, when there were a lot of drunks, the United States was not an alcoholic society. You go to certain countries in the world, like France, Italy, etc. So there, the alcoholism is endemic. It's rife. The children, 7 years old, they drink a whole bottle of wine at a meal. And in France, for instance, much more wine is drunk than water, which may say something about French water. But they don't like Perrier. That's why they send it here. But in Poland and in Russia, alcoholism has been a way of life for 1,000 years. There's a new drive on now by our friend Chairman Gorbachev to try and somehow deal with the problem of alcoholism in Russia. Close the half the vodka shops in Russia. It's an enforced type of minimal prohibition, simply because of the fact that alcoholism takes such a toll out of the economic and social and family fabric of the society.